Good morning again. Today I'm really very excited because Thanksgiving week is taking place. One, I only have to work 2 days. See, I can be thankful for that. Number two is we have family coming. For the first time, probably in 6 years, I'm going to have Thanksgiving with my granddaughter, who we have not seen for a while and who's back in our lives. Yeah. And I'm even happy that my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are coming over. They really are great people. And of course, we're going to have Maisie there, our dog, and Vicky and I. So we're just looking forward to a great, great Thanksgiving dinner. Irma Bombach said this about Thanksgiving. It takes about 18 hours to prepare a full Thanksgiving dinner. It takes 12 minutes to consume it. Halftime is 12 minutes. That is not a coincidence. So, as we look at this idea of giving through gratitude, which is the next slide, as we look at that, what happens is we have to think a little bit about those words, giving through gratitude. That really everything we do when we're having that sense of gratitude, when we have that understanding of what we are so grateful for and how that changes our lives, everything we do really creates this opportunity to give of ourselves in many different ways. On the next slide, we're looking at what many of you are familiar with called the 4T program. And the 4Ts, a lot of people kind of figure out, what are the 4Ts, okay? Because in the book it says, or in the pamphlet it says, tithe, your time, your talent, and your, what is it? Talent, and treasurer, thank you, okay? And so, anyway, there was no fourth one. But if you look at it, what he was saying is tithe is number one, tithe of your time is number two, time of your talent is number three, and tithe of your treasure is number four. That's why it's called the 4Ts. I added another one on there. I hope Stratton Smith, who developed this program, doesn't mind. Well, he's passed now, but anyway, his spirit doesn't mind. It's thanks. Because you see, when we are able to understand who and what we are and what we are capable of and how our relationships move together to make a difference in our lives. When we understand that, we literally are prosperous. We're already there. Prosperity is not money, although it's important. Prosperity is a thought or an attitude through which you see through the lens of gratefulness your life. Sylvia Sumter has taught this summer, who is the minister in Unity of Washington, D.C., been there about 30 years, said of this particular program, the program allows you to open your consciousness to spirit, affirm your prosperity daily, and challenge you to walk in your prosperity. So the messages I'm going to share with you this morning all have to do with these 4Ts. And so let's look at the first one. And the first message, basically, is about a fellow that I want to share who read this particular, he said, quote, somewhere, if you light a lamp for someone else, it will also brighten your path, said by the Buddha. My name is Brian Anderson. I want to share a story with you about my life that turned my way of thinking totally around. I'm an auto mechanic, so I don't dress real well. And I don't always shave real well. And I was on my way home when I saw a lady who was old, not too old, but old, and she was sitting in her car and she had a flat tire. And he said, I pulled over and I got out and I started to walk up to her, and it was obvious she was scared, just by the way she was looking and acting. She put the window down about an inch and said, I have a flat tire, obviously. and my phone has gone dead. And so, could you help me out? And he said, I'll be glad to. My name is Brian Anderson, and I would be glad to change the tire for you. You don't have to get out of the car, anything like that. Please don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. So he got down, got under the car, put the jack in, got all greasy. He even looked worse when he came out, and he fixed the tire. And she said, well, and put a window down just a little further and said, I'd like to give you $100 for doing this. And he said, no. Here's what you can do for me. The next time you see somebody who needs help, would you please just give them help and pass it on? So the lady had been there for quite a few hours, and so she drove away and she saw a cafe on the side of the road. And she stopped at the cafe to eat. And when she finished her meal, one of the things was that her waitress was about 8 months pregnant, it looked like, was very tired because she was at the end of her shift, and literally looked like she was very concerned. And so when she gave her the ticket, she gave it her $100 bill. And the waitress came back, and this woman had left. And she left a note. I'm passing this forward. And when the woman looked under, the waitress looked under the napkins, there were $400 also. Four more $100 bills. So this obviously made her very joyous, made her not quite as tired as she had been. And so she finished her shift and she went home. And she said, honey, you won't believe what happened today. I had somebody tip me just about $500. He said, really? She said, yes. And she said, I know that's a relief because with a baby coming, I know we needed $500, and here it is. And he said, well, that, and he was relieved. He was joyous. And when they went to bed, she turned over to him, and she said, Brian Anderson, you are a great man. The second is a quote that says, service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth, Muhammad Ali. Zion Williamson is with the New Orleans, I want to say Patriots, but it's not, Pelicans, okay? Is that right? Yes, Pelicans. That's so funny. I don't even think of a Pelican in New Orleans. But anyway, one of the things that happened during COVID was a number of NBA stars contributed maybe $100,000 each to keep the staff on salary when they had been taken off because of COVID, when they shut down. What this young man did is he paid everybody's salary, which was close to $500,000 during that shutdown time, who worked at his arena. You see, he was saying, I am thankful in action for what you have done for me and for this basketball club. And so this was a way in which he was using his talent, which generated a lot of income, and he was taking that income and he was giving back part of it because he could see that he had a responsibility to help people pay their rent. The next slide is about a friend of mine. It's called Lee's story. When I was in El Paso, I had a lady who had been on Social Security for about 5 years. And she spent a lot of time as a volunteer. But for some reason, she came in one day and said, Richard, I need to start tithing. I'm called to tithe. I love this church. I love what it does for me, and I need to tithe. And I'm only on Social Security. I got a little bit of savings, not much, but I just need to do it, and I'm going to start tithing. So she started giving $70 a month, once a month when her Social Security check came in. I don't know how she did it, but she did it. And after about 4 or 5 months, she got a phone call from her son. Her car was kind of falling apart, and she really didn't have the money to fix it the way it should be fixed because of the cost. And so her son called her and said, I've got a new car for you. And it actually was a black Cadillac, okay? This was 1990. And she said, thank you very much, but I can't take the car. He said, what do you mean, Mom? Well, you see, I've agreed to tithe on everything that's given to me. What's the car worth? And he said, well, I'm getting it for about $4,500. Remember, this is in the 90s. And she said, well, thank you very much, but I can't do it. He said, well, what do I need to do? She said, well, I need $450 to go with the car. So he said, well, that's not a problem. And he gave her the car and $450 so she could tithe. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Not many people would do that. Either one. So what happened then is about a year later, Social Security office called her or wrote her a letter and said, we made a mistake in your Social Security. And she said, I was scared to read the rest of it. All I can envision, when they call you, they are either talk to you with a letter, they're going to take something away. And the letter said, we have not been paying you the correct amount for Social Security for the last 5 years. And we should have been paying you $200 more a month. They gave her a check, or sent her a check, for over $10,000 plus interest. Talking about being elated, she actually tithed on that, which is pretty amazing, I thought. And she said to me when she gave me the check, she came to the office and gave me the check. She said, what I want you to know, Richard, is I cannot afford not to tithe. This has been wonderful. And she continued to do that till the day she died. And other things happened in her life. And so she was always grateful, always saying thank you, because she had been willing to give up part of her treasure. As a matter of fact, did you know that that people who tithe, who are churchgoers in the United States, the percentage is approximately 1.9% today. 1.9% of all the people tithe. So I put a lot more emphasis on consistent giving or giving. I put a lot more emphasis on when we have an issue or a challenge, everybody should know, we should be transparent, and we should find ways in which we can have opportunities to overcome the challenge. And so what I'm talking about is a concept called Let's Finish Strong. Next slide. And in that is a quote, start strong, stay strong, and finish strong by always remembering why you're doing it in the first place. Ralph Marston. What does that say? It says, why do I give? Why do I give to charities? Why do I give to Unity Renaissance? Why am I willing to let go and release some of my concerns about giving and step forward and do it? And it says that if I believe that I am receiving a benefit, that I am grateful for what, in this particular case, Unity Renaissance represents, then I'm willing to give. You will never hear me give a message on tithing. You'll hear messages on giving. That's different. Because what I believe is the tithe, and I think it's important, I personally tithe 10% of my income or more. But that's just an opportunity I have. But if people would just say, what am I comfortable giving? And how often do I want to give that? Then what can happen is that we will meet all of our needs with no problem whatsoever. And so I want to share with you, and it went out on Friday for those who saw it, a chart. And one of the things people have asked for and continue to ask for and deserve is transparency. So look at this from that perspective, please. We're being transparent with where we are. If you notice the chart, you'll see that in October, the income was $39,642. Our expenses were $33,318. It's on the far left column. And then net income was $6,324. That has not been happening all year. And you've heard about that at town hall meetings, letters that have gone out, things of that nature. And so one of the things that we look at is year to date, we've had $285,865 in income. as donors. That's what donors are given. We've also had expenses of $346,763. And I want you to look at that which is circled. And that shows that if that's all we had to depend on, we would have be $60,902 in the hole as of today. However, God is good all the time. So what happened was that Paul knew about a program, and that program is called the ERC. And I don't even know what that stands for right this minute. It's going blank. But anyway, the ERC is a payment from the government that gives us money back because of the salaries that we paid during COVID. Many churches have received these. In your case, in our case, you have received $124,000 this year and $124,181. That's the third column across income. That came in. The hope would be that when that comes in, we can set that all aside and do specific things. If there's any work that needs to be on the roof, which we've done. If there's work that's been on, needs to be done on a sign or a new sign, that has been done to some degree. If there is an opportunity to give staff bonuses, that has been done, by the way. They'll be coming out soon. And those on staff will find out what they are before long, okay? They'll be received in their December paycheck. And so some things are happening because that money came in, but we really wanted to take that $124,000 and kind of set it aside for other things that might be needed to build our reserves. And our reserves are somewhere around $260,000 right now that we have in reserves. So you as a ministry are in very good financial shape. You and a ministry are being blessed by source on an ongoing basis. However, there is that circled number there of $60,000, or $61,000 just about dollars. And what we want to do is, towards the end of the year, going into the end of the year, we want to kind of ask you to consider making a special gift above and beyond what you normally give. What it is up to you. You can do it, or you may not feel that you can do it, whatever you decide. And we would like to have the opportunity of replenishing our funds, so when your new minister comes in, they don't have to worry about finances or raising money. So that when something of an emergency comes up that takes quite a bit of money, and there are several things that could happen around here that does that, you're able to have the money there in reserves. So that's the reason we're saying let's finish strong. I'm not asking you to do anything today. I mean, if you want to, you can, but I'm not asking you to do that. What I'm really asking you to do is pray and ask what yours is to do. Go within yourself and you'll find the answer. If the answer is I cannot do anything right now, that's a good answer. If the answer is I have some extra money that I didn't expect, then I can give because it's unexpected income. Maybe the answer is I'd just like to give an additional amount. I just feel good about that right now, and you can do that. It's up to you. It's really up to you. There's not going to be any pressure. There will be announcements. There will be opportunities to give, but there's no pressure on any one person or no, you should. What you give is your decision. It's what you're called to do on your own. It is not the treasurer's decision. It's not the board's decision. It's not my decision. There should never be any pressure, as far as I'm concerned, when we ask for more than what one normally gives. It's up to you, and I hold you in that light. And now, gratitude, that next app. The little pink flower up there, box, is a gratitude app. Did you know that existed? It's a gratitude app. So a few Sundays ago, and the last Sunday I missed it, I asked people to, and I suggested that people write down each and every day up to 10 things they're grateful for. Well, if you have this app, what you can do is you can write down what you're grateful for that day, and it stays there. And then the next day, you add to it, okay? And I want to share an experience that Marcus had with you. Marcus was a drug addict. He had somewhat control. but it affected his attitude. He says because of his attitude, he became a drug addict. And it got worse and worse until the point that he couldn't really be functional. And he wanted to come off the drugs, and he would try. And he tried twice, and he nearly lost his life both times because he had fits and seizures and that type of thing. And he just didn't know what to do. So there was a fellowship that he went to. I believe it probably was Narcotics Anonymous. And the way he used it was a fellowship he went to. And he went to the fellowship, and he started to share, and he wanted to get help. He knew he still could not afford to go in a rehab center. That was not something he could do. He'd used his resources on drugs. And so what he did was he shared with the group what he tried to do and said, I really need to get off. I want to get off, but I don't know how to get off. And they said, well, don't try to get off. Not at this point. What we want you to do is we want you to go home. And every night before you go to bed, we want you to write what you're grateful for. He said, well, I'll try it. I don't expect anything, but I try it. He said, because you see where he was and where Marcus is that he was literally in that deep, dark hole. Inside, he felt dark, and therefore, outside, he felt dark. And he just didn't have any hope. But as he started to write down his gratitude, what am I grateful for? Something happened. He said, the first time I tried to do it, I had to think, really think, because I didn't think there was anything to be grateful for. And then I realized I had a house where I paid the mortgage off. I gave thanks for that. Then I realized I was still able to eat on a regular basis. He gave thanks for that. That's all he could think of to give thanks for. That's a miserable place to be. And some of us have been there before. Some of us have struggled. And then what he did is by calling his sponsor, he was reminded every day to write down what he was thankful for. And it got easier. And he started to write down things like the relationship with my sponsor. Write down that developing some friends who understand where I am and what I should do. And he grew. And about 4 months into it, he found that his attitude changed, that he was looking through the lens of gratitude. He was saying to himself, I am grateful to still be alive. I am grateful to be breathing. I am grateful that I can make a difference in the world. How about that? 4 months later, 6 months later, he was in gratitude full time. He didn't have a sense of darkness. He didn't have a sense of loss. He didn't have a sense that everybody's against me. Instead, he'd come off of being the victim and was becoming the role model for being grateful. It changed his life. And then one day, he decided, I've got to stop the drugs. He had reduced them, but he got to stop. And even though it had been recommended that he not do that, he decided to do it himself. He made the decision to stop. And what happened was, that night he slept well. He didn't have any seizures. He didn't have any problems of that nature. Instead, what happened is he very easily went off the medication or the narcotics. And he stayed off for 12 days and feeling good. He was amazed. And he says because of his attitude of gratitude, he was able to do that. And as he says, Marcus stayed off, and is still off today, for over several years. Okay, he is reformed. He knows what he needs, but he says, I never, ever go through the day without opening my attitude app. Great, what did I say? What is that called? Anyway, thank you, gratitude app. And so, what a wonderful story. And you see, as we go back to where we began on that next slide, living or giving through gratitude, that is an action statement. It's an action statement. It's not wishfulness. It's not like saying on Thanksgiving Day, I love everybody and I'm very thankful, and the next day get up and be mad at the world. It's saying, this is who I am. This is what I am. And I give and I take action because I am grateful. And this morning, we're going to go through a meditation. I'm going to ask you at the end of the meditation to take a few moments and to fill out the card, I am grateful. Did everybody receive one of those? Is there anybody that needs one? Right up front here and over here, right here. Thank you. Here they come. All right. Everybody has one now. And what we want to do is I want you to write what you're grateful for. It doesn't have to be about the church. It might be something that's happened this week. It might be somebody. It can be anything. What I am grateful for. And yes, there are two post-its there. And you may want to use both of them. That's up to you. Then when you leave the service, there is a banner that says, I am thankful for. And we're going to have some of our youth there, and you can tear off what you wrote and give it to them, and they're going to post it up on a banner, and we're going to keep that there as long as these post-its work. So let's now prepare for this time of meditation. I am grateful. I give because I am grateful. I give of my time. I give of my talent. I give of my treasure. And I do it through the power of being in a moment of thankfulness. So take a moment and affirm that you are thankful, that you are grateful. And as we go into the silence, with our hearts wide open, knowing that we are one in spirit, that we commune together through oneness, and knowing that you are blessed, more blessed than you probably realize, knowing that, just go into the silence and give some thought to, I am grateful for. I am grateful for. Don't write it down right now. Just hold it in thought and consciousness. And you may change your mind. I'm grateful for one thing. I'm grateful for another. You might write those down. But right this moment, just be in this time of silence. And whatever came to your heart, your mind, hold it there. Now gently open your eyes and write down what you are grateful for. I am grateful for, and put it on that post-it pad. As you complete the statement, you may want to write your name, or you may not, because we will be using some of these statements in the weeks to come. so we are grateful, we are thankful, we are so alive, we are so blessed, we are so abundant, and we know that life is good, and so it is. Amen.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace.